And it was the moment that some said cemented Senator Marco Rubio's position in the GOP race for the presidential nomination. After being reprimanded by former Florida Governor Jeb Bush for missing a record number of Senate votes, Rubio responded.
Someone has convinced you that attacking me is going to help you.
Well,
Here's the bottom line. My campaign is going to be about the future of America. It's not going to be about attacking anyone else on this stage. I will continue to have tremendous admiration and respect for Governor Bush. I'm not running against Governor Bush. I'm not running against anyone on the stage. I'm running for president because there is no way we can elect Hillary Clinton to continue the policies of Barack Obama.
Thank you, Senator.
That sound courtesy of the CNBC debate on Westwood One. The back and forth continued through the weekend as former Governor Bush responded to Rubio on NBC's Meet the Press. He says he wasn't attacking Rubio.
The basic point with Marco isn't that he's not a good person or he's not a gifted politician. Everybody can see that. Mm-hmm. It's that I have proven leadership skills. I got to be governor of a state and accomplish big things. And in this era of gridlock, it's really hard to break through. And I think he's given up. And I think that's the wrong thing to do. This is about public service, about solving problems.
Well, as the politics play out, let's get to know a little more about Marco Rubio, who's getting more support after the debate in the polls and from an influential Republican donor. Joining us now is Amy Hollyfield, Deputy Managing Editor of Politics for the Tampa Bay Times. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
And let's start with his family story, the one that some people say makes you cry when you hear it. And some have pointed out has some problems with it, that his parents didn't flee Cuba during the revolution. As he used to say, they took a plane to America before it even started.
Yeah, this is definitely the emotional core of Marco Rubio's campaign speeches, or what you can, you know, not a dry eye in a room when he gets to the point of talking about his parents and how they left. Or looking for a, you know, better life for themselves and for their future, their children and future children. Marco Rubio was born in Miami, of course, and has long talked about being a Cuban immigrant and his parents and what they did. But he did get into trouble when people finally realized they left before the revolution, before Fidel Castro came into power. And that took a little shine off the story. But still, it resonates a lot with voters when he tells the story.
And did he explain why he was saying that they had left after the revolution had begun?
He sort of explained it as he got confused, and you know, he was using the term exiles, which, you know, here in Florida, that's got a really specific meaning, and it has to do with people fleeing the Castro, you know, government. And they didn't flee Castro. They actually left in, I think it was 1956, which was before he came in power.
Tell us a little bit about his upbringing in Florida and why he got involved in politics.
You know, Marco Rubio, actually, he was in Miami for a while, and then he went out to Nevada. His family had family out there, so he lived there. He came back to Miami, and he was a football player. He went to college on a football scholarship. It didn't really work out because it was a small school in Missouri that closed. So he came back to Florida, went to law school. He actually worked on Bob Dole's presidential campaign. And a big-time Florida Republican named Al Cardenas noticed him and was really impressed with Marco Rubio. And that's sort of how he got the bug. And he first ran for a West Miami City Commission, which West Miami is where he still, you know, has his house. But he ran for a small office. And actually, Jeb Bush was one of his contributors.
Yeah, gave him a $50 donation, right, in that
Correct.
First campaign.
Correct. And he was supposedly waving it around, really proud to get a donation from, at the time, you know, Jeb Bush was about to become governor of Florida. This would have been 1998.
And Jeb Bush is now talked about as a mentor of Marco Rubio's. When did that start?
That absolutely started when Marco got into the Florida legislature. He won a special election and went into as a Florida representative in 2000. You know, in Florida, the Speaker of the House gets selected really far in advance, years in advance. And it's something you almost have to game out when you first get elected among your core class of Republicans. And Marco Rubio did that and, you know, started working with Jeb Bush, who was the governor there. And they noticed they built a relationship of some kind. And so when Marco finally got elected to be speaker, the governor presented him with this giant sword to notice, you know, that they were going to fight for conservative values and ideas together in the Florida government.
And then in 2009, he made what some people thought was a surprising decision to challenge Republican Charlie Crist, at least at that point he was a Republican, a former governor of Florida, for the Senate seat that Mel Martinez was leaving. Tell us about that election.
Yeah, that was really wild. I mean, Florida has some crazy election stories, but you know, this was one you couldn't really predict how it turned out. You know, Marco Rubio jumped into this race, and certainly nobody thought it was a good idea. You know, Washington was supporting Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist was a very, very popular incumbent governor. It didn't seem like it was possible. But Marco Rubio did some really diligent campaigning. He worked around the state in meeting with Republican groups, did a lot of grassroots meeting, and it really dovetailed with what became a Tea Party wave election in 2010.
And Marco Rubio was seen as the candidate with Tea Party support.
Absolutely.
Why? What did he offer that the Tea Party loved?
You know, he talked a lot about spending our money right, and you know, brought some of the conservative values that he had in the Florida legislature. And he wrote a book, I failed to mention, when he became speaker. It was like 100 innovative ideas that he was going to bring to the state of Florida. And he likes to say that most of those happened, but we actually, PolitiFact Florida, did a little fact checking of that and found that wasn't entirely true. But it was things like that, you know, big ideas about property taxes and about you know, simplifying the tax code and about, you know, making better decisions for families and middle class. That got people's attention.
And where does he stand on climate change, which is, of course, a very important issue in the state of Florida?
Absolutely. You know, he doesn't really believe that it's a human-made condition. Understands that there's science out there and understand there's a problem, but doesn't really accept it. And that puts him in line with some other Republicans here.
One of the big issues that he confronted when he came to Washington as a U.S. senator was the issue of immigration. And he was in favor of comprehensive immigration reform and then pulled his support for that. What happened?
That's a great question. I think we're still trying to figure that out. You know, he made a big name for himself in speaking up for comprehensive immigration. He went on all kinds of conservative radio talk shows and really tried to take the same grassroots approach that he did to getting elected to get support for a comprehensive immigration. And, you know, then, you know, as things do in Congress, it just sort of fell apart, and he kind of quickly dismantled his support for it and, you know, held tight to securing the borders, but then sort of let go of a comprehensive approach, and now he's in favor of a piecemeal approach.
How did his support do in Florida after that? Are people still big fans of Marco Rubio in the Sunshine State?
I'd say people are big fans of him. The effort that he did to get elected got him known in all corners of the state, and that made a difference. I would say, though, he's not the most visible senator. You know, our other senator, Bill Nelson, holds office hours across the state where he'll meet with voters. And you don't see that a lot from Marco Rubio.
And are people upset about this whole issue that Jeb Bush has been bringing up about how he's missing a lot of votes in the Senate, Marco Rubio?
I do hear that resonating. Now, I haven't done any polling of the state, but I do think it matters to people here who think, you know, this guy is supposed to be representing us in Congress. And he's flat out said, I don't need to be there because I'm running for president. And that's not fantastic when you think about everybody who's working really hard and has to go to their job every day. I don't know that for sure, but anecdotally, I've certainly heard a lot of talk about it.
Amy Hollyfield, before we let you go, tell us something else we don't know about Marco Rubio.
What else don't you know about Marco Rubio? He supposedly goes to mass every day in Washington. He's got an interesting religion. You know, he's brought up Catholic, but he also, you know, can go to some, you know, Christian groups, not strictly Catholic. But he says he goes to mass every day, and it's part of how he carries himself.
Amy Hollyfield, Deputy Managing Editor of Politics for the Tampa Bay Times, talking with us about Marco Rubio, who is certainly on the ascent in the Republican field of candidates for president. Amy, thank you.
You're welcome.